Amos Oz, you seem to have an advantage that most writers don't have because you're primarily writing in modern Hebrew, but you and members of your family were inventing it.
Modern Hebrew has some things in common with Elizabethan English. It is still an erupting volcano, an earthquake in the make. A writer of contemporary Hebrew can take excessive liberties with the language and even legislate into the language by inventing new words and new forms.
Somewhat like Shakespeare did.
Yes. I'm not suggesting that every single poet in Tel Aviv today is a Shakespeare. We don't have more than half a dozen of those in Tel Aviv right now. But the temptation within the language to legislate, to take liberties, to invent, is present and very attractive.
Of course, it probably creates problems for the people who translate the books.
Yes, it's hard to translate Hebrew into any European language because Hebrew has a different system of tenses, consequently a different notion of time and perhaps a different idea of reality. So translating is a hard work.
But you speak good English, you write good English. Do you look at the translations before they're published?
I work closely with my English translator because the English translation is the only one that can hurt me. I can't read all the others. I can read the English. So this is a pain for my English translator because I observe and watch over his work. But he's a wonderful translator, and he has been with me for 42 years now and translated 20 of my books or more. And he's a wonderful translator.
Obviously, having a good translation in English is commercially important, but is it also important in trying to convey what you're trying to convey when you wrote it in the original Hebrew?
Well, I keep saying to all my translators, including people who translate me into languages I shall never be able to read, I say to them, for God's sake, be unfaithful in order to be loyal. A translator should look for equivalence sometimes. You cannot translate an idiom as it is. You cannot translate an expression as it is. Sometimes you have to look for an equivalent and find an equivalent.
Besides being there for the birth of modern Hebrew, you were there for the birth of Israel. And you were there when it actually happened. Does it make a difference that you are, the new Israeli you talk about in A Tale of Love and Darkness, in the sense of the kibbutz and the suntan people out there?
Well, I've been watching all this, and being an Israeli of my age is the equivalent of being a 356-year-old American, because I saw the Boston Tea Party of Israel with my own eyes, and I shook hands with George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Not many Americans can claim the same. And I've been a witness to a very exciting period, but also a very difficult period. There is an ancient Chinese curse: may you live in interesting times. And I have lived through interesting times.
You were on the Golan Heights.
Yes, I fought in Sinai in 67, and I fought again on the Golan Heights in 73.
Do people understand that? The idea that you aren't just a writer sitting in a nice sunlit room with a keyboard, but you've been out there in the real world?
Well, I think every genuine writer has been out there in the real world before he became a writer. Otherwise, what would he or she write about?
But you talk a lot about, in this book, your family members who were basically dusted by the books that they had piled up in their offices, but it's a different world, right?
It's very much a book about the love of books, and I was shaped by the love of books. In my parents' library, there are books in 15 or 16 different languages. And although we lived in an apartment smaller than the space where you and I are sitting right now, it was piled with books, crowded with books. And at that time, there existed no television and no computer and no radio and at least not in our home, and not even a telephone. So we would sit and read, and reading was the only pastime we had.
They were old-line European intellectuals, the survivors of the millions who had been there before 1933. Does that affect your view of the world, that even though you're part of the new world, you're shaped by the old?
Oh, very much so, and I'm going to talk about this tonight in my presentation, so I'd better not anticipate my presentation.
Is it difficult to look back at your family and their attitudes and whatever they thought about what was going to happen in British Palestine and realize how much that's changed?
No, it's not difficult because I'm not nostalgic. I don't think the old times were better than the new times. They were different. They were hard times, and these times are also hard times. But these hard times are different than the old hard times. And I view the old times with a certain surgical remoteness.
Thank you. Amos Oz.
Thank you very much. Thank you.